Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I, for one, did not think the Cavaliers would be 12-10 after the first 22 games of the season. Hell, I thought they were going to start 0-8 looking at the schedule. Well, they've been a pleasant surprise to this point, and one of the big reasons is this month's Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month, Evan Mobley. That was announced today when he's been in the lineup. The Cavaliers have been a very good basketball team, 11-6 in the 17 games he's appeared in during this season. And to talk all about that, let's go to the Wake 'em Way hotline, bring in the outstanding Cavs and NBA beat reporter for Amico Hoops. Sam Amico joins us here on the Kenny and JT Show. How are you, Sam?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Hey, we're good, and so are the Cavaliers, Sam. I'm surprised, pleasantly surprised by this, hoping it's not just, fool's gold or smoke and mirrors, but I don't think it is this year compared to the last couple of years. You agree or disagree, Sam?
I think this is a little different, and the reason being why you just stated Evan Mobley has played a large role in that. I think that for whatever reason, these guys are riding this wave of confidence, even in the games we've seen them without Mobley that they shouldn't have competed in. And it was even, without Mobley, without Jared Allen, without Markkanen for a while, and Love, and now Chetty. There's just a different spirit behind them. I think a lot of that, they're engaged with their coach. There's none of these dramas like the Kevin Porter Jr. or Andre Drummond stuff hanging over their head. Let's not forget, they went on the road two games in a row now and have really had their way with the opponents on the road. And they don't have, and they're not going to have last year's leading scorer on the team. So I just think that there's a different spirit that we've seen. Before it was easy to break, and now it's through quarter mark of the season, they you haven't been able to break their spirits, no matter injuries or a bad quarter here and there. They've kept fighting, and that's a lot different than we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, a lot of chemistry there. It seems like they really they like each other, and we don't say that too often about our professional sports team, Sam. When they constructed this team in the offseason, Kenny and I looked at it and like, oh my gosh, there's another seven-footer. There's another seven-footer. Then they went out and brought in Taco Fall. Who thought that this would work? I mean, weren't you amazed in a copycat league that we thought we had to be better shooters from the perimeter that they would construct a team of seven-footers?
Well, I don't even think that they thought they'd be this good with that roster. It looked clunky, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like you just said, nobody's playing that way, or they hadn't been. But the one thing about being a copycat is if you're going to copy somebody else, you better be darn sure that you can do it better than them, if not now, then eventually. So if you want to be the Golden State Warriors, you better hope you have a Steph Curry and a Klay Thompson on your team.
Sure.
And most people don't. And a lot of teams copy that method and don't have those guys, so maybe it made sense. And the Cavs really kind of said, you know what, we're not going to be getting one of those guys anytime soon. We don't have those guys. Let's go out and draft another seven-footer who's the best player available and take them, and we'll go big, and we'll see how this works. Because if it doesn't work, guess what? This is the NBA. People change rosters every 3 months. But it ended up working. I think it ended up working better than they thought. Remember, guys, we saw them in the preseason, and it looked like, well, this isn't going to work. But I just think a big part of that, too, is because Evan Mobley is a real difference maker. It's gone very under the radar, but Darius Garland, to me, has taken a big step up in terms of being an overall floor leader in consistency. And, we also... You have to look at Markkanen didn't have a great game last night, but most nights he's been pretty solid, and he's always a threat from the perimeter, and he's 7 feet. They have a great amount of length. The only other team that I would compare them to that has that kind of length that is winning are the Nets. And, you know, so they're really able to not only protect the basket, but they're able to get easy baskets. And then that opens things up from the perimeter. So it's worked out well. I don't think anybody saw it coming. I know the Cavs probably themselves didn't see it coming, but because of the ability of Mobley, it's really helped change the course of the franchise.
Happy to have senior NBA writer, HoopsWire.com, Sam Amico, joining us. You can also follow him on Twitter, at Amico Hoops. Does a great job, not only with the Cavs, but the entire NBA. And Sam, let's go to a couple of the veteran players. This is all about a youth movement, but the Utes on the Cavaliers are learning from some of the veterans in Kevin Love and Ricky Rubio. How much of an impact have those guys had, forget in games on the court, off the court with these young players, and especially Love accepting this role now?
I had people tell me this last season, a couple of general managers that were watching, you know, knew a little bit about the Cavs, opposing GMs, that said, you can't just have all youth. If you looked at their roster last year with Love injured, they got rid of Drummond, they got rid of JaVale McGee. He said, those guys, you need those veteran players to help push the youth in practice, to show them little different tricks on the court during games, just their voices as guys who have been there before, and the Cavs didn't have that last season. That's what makes Love and Rubio so valuable. Love has won a title. He's been a member of winning teams. He's played with LeBron James extensively. He's played with Kyrie Irving. You know, that gets him some respect amongst his peers. Being in the locker room and then having big games like last night, 22 points, where I've got to help carry us to a win because we're trying to win now. Ricky Rubio, same thing. You saw it in New York when he had that huge night, Madison Square Garden. Those are the kind of nights that those guys can still have. But what's really important is that what you just said, Kenny, not just on the court, but in the locker room, in the practices. You know, earlier this season, I heard Colin Sexton say, with Darius and I out there, it can get a little wild sometimes. That's where Ricky calms us down. That's where he's so valuable. And unlike last season, the Cavs have those veterans. And I would say Ed Davis is another one of those guys who you don't see a lot of them on the floor unless there's injury, but has been invaluable in terms of just being that veteran presence who's not a coach but can instruct the younger guy.
Sam, with Colin Sexton out, how much do you expect DG will continue to benefit from that?
Well, I think he has no choice, first of all, if they're going to continue down this trail. But, yeah, I think that there's probably a comfort level there for him. Not saying that he's uncomfortable with Colin, but now he's, you know, hey, you're the man. Every NBA player, once you reach this level, you want to be, if not the man, one A, B, or C, and he's certainly amongst that. You know, I mean, really, to me, people were saying before the year, Darius Garland's going to have a breakout season. This is his year. Well, his numbers don't reflect that, but the way he's playing and leading the team and making sure that, you know, everybody's getting their shots and distributing the ball, he's just getting more and more comfortable. So I think it does help. There were times last season, not necessarily this season, but last season I kind of felt like maybe Sexton's holding him back a little bit. And now he's playing freely. And I thought he was doing that at the beginning of the year with Colin too, because to me Sexton took a step back on purpose, not shooting as much and not just being a volume scorer. I mean, his scoring average is down 8 points. So I think that he did a better job of fitting, but I also thought part of that is because of the rise of Garland. And, yeah, there's good possibility he's more comfortable out there playing next to Okoro and the three bigs.
Sam, I agree with you. I'm not a huge Sexton guy. I didn't think he deserved a max contract, but I thought less was more for him earlier this year, and he was. It looked like he was accepting of that role and was playing good and working with the team as opposed to, I got to get mine, and it's a shame that he's lost for the season, but as JT pointed out, okay, that takes him out of the equation, and Garland, here, it's you and Mobley. It's your show. You're our lottery picks. You're the two we're building around based on, well, Mobley was the third overall pick, and you were selected for Team USA to practice against the Olympic team. So can we see this combination, a Price-Doherty combination growing for the future between Darius Garland and Evan Mobley?
Well, that's a good comparison. I think so. I think that you have your main guard and your main big guy in place, and you know, throw Jared Allen in there too, who would be kind of like, you know, obviously totally different game, but kind of like your Larry Nance.
Yep.
You know, and those three pieces, you allow them to grow together. Mobley has the chance, in my eyes, to become, you know, a superstar along the lines of a Garnett or, you know, a Tim Duncan, that type of guy.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think you put two or three other pretty good players around him, you're going to go places. And they certainly do resemble those old Cavs teams in that sense, in that we have kind of our big three, four, not super-duper stars, but guys
right.
who have the potential to be regular all-stars, like Price and Doherty and Nance were. You know, and you have your Hot Rods. You have guys who complement them well in Markkanen and you know, some of those other guys. And right now, Isaac Okoro is kind of like, you know, Winston Bennett. Is it like, is he going to be the guy who's going to be a starter worthy type player for us? You know, small forward shooting guard, or is he not the answer? Is that a hole we need to plug? So they do have a lot of similarities to those Cavs of the late 80s and early 90s.
Sam, well, you know, I look at Isaac Okoro, you know, maybe as like a Craig Elo on defense, you know, if he could just develop his three-point shot, you know, he could be, you know, like Craig Elo was for me, you know, as I coach this team and everybody refers to them as the Wilkins Cavaliers. And maybe Okoro can develop a three-point shot. I don't know, Sam, but they drafted him for his defense. Now, did they draft him too high? Yes. But, hey, when you hit on some of these other picks, he's a nice role player for this team, and let's hope he continues to develop. And the last thing here that I want to get your thoughts on, and I'll let you go, is the coaching staff. J.B. Bickerstaff, is he the right guy for this team moving forward?
I mean, it sure looks – I never have thought no to that. I thought, I guess we'll find out last year when things were going bad. Now, I would say he's kind of got some of those Lenny Wilkins qualities in that he's got the guys playing together as a unit. He's got them playing hard, for the most part, playing smart. You know, and one thing I always liked about Lenny – was, and we've said this over and over, is that when he called a timeout, you know, and you had the ball, you knew you were going to probably get a good look at the basket. He could draw something up. And I'm seeing a lot of that with JB. Watch after timeouts. They usually, and that's a sign of a good coach, is that he's settling them down. He's drawing up something that works for them and, you know, getting them to a point where they get their confidence back. And, so I would say, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say no, that he's not the guy, because they're exceeding expectations. They're playing hard. When they're not winning games, they're still looking good. Why? Or if there's a lot of injuries, because of their system and because of the system he has in place. And I think that really speaks to his coaching, is when, you know, you play Golden State down to the wire and you don't have half your guys, you know,
right.
your main guys. When you play Brooklyn tough in Brooklyn and you don't have half your guys, that's coaching. That's an ability to get guys to play to their strengths. And so in that sense, Yeah, I mean, right now, he should be in the Coach of the Year run with the way they're playing and exceeding expectations.
Sam, great stuff as always. We know you're a busy guy today. Thanks for making time for us on short notice. Keep up the fantastic work, and we'll talk again soon, all right?
All right, Kenny, JT, always great talking to you. I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. There he is, Sam Amico. Follow him on Twitter, at Amico Hoops. And JT, he was referencing, they call them ATOs, after timeout plays, right? ATOs. And that is something that Lenny was a master of with those Cavaliers teams. In fact, go back to the shot game. If you remember when Michael hit the shot to beat the Cavaliers, a lot of people forget before the shot, Lenny designed an out-of-bounds play, an after-timeout play, where Craig Elo got a layup to give the Cavaliers the lead. The only problem is Craig scored too quickly and left too much time on the clock for Michael Jordan. But when you see that, that means players are locked in. They're paying attention to their coach, and he's designing things to put them in the best position to win. So if Sam's seeing that with J.B. Bickerstaff, that is definitely a good sign for this team.
It's obvious when you turn on a game, whether or not they're winning or losing, every time there's a timeout, whether it's just to stop the bleeding, they really do. They thrive on that, so to speak. And again, it's a very unselfish team, and that really helps, Kenny.